Did everybody get the handouts for the sermon? If you don't have one, go ahead and raise your hands, and maybe Brock and can you hand that out to people? Brock, thanks. Brock and Brad will throw those out to you. Thank you, guys. You guys having a good week? Yeah? How's the house stuff going? Good? Yeah. We're going to miss you, Jill, and family. This Wooten clan, if you don't know, the Wooten clan is moving to Colorado. I know. We're going to miss them dearly. So, it's been a good week, been a busy week. And we're starting a new sermon series. Yay. And before we begin, I want to pray. Or actually, I want you to pray. So I'd like you just to maybe team up with the person next to you and just ask for a blessing as we read God's word this morning and ask them to be blessed, and then I'll finish. So go ahead. Father, I thank you this morning that you pour your love out for each one of us sitting here this morning, Father. You demonstrated that pouring out of love by having Jesus come down and walk on this earth and die a death that we deserved. And Father, this morning we're so grateful for what Jesus offers each and every one of us, and that is salvation. The ability to be sons and daughters of the King of the universe. Father, we thank you for that fact this morning. And Father, as we open the Word of God, as we talk about our egos and laying things down, Father, I just pray for the Holy Spirit to work on each one of us, Father. Lord, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is a new, somewhat short series that we're starting. What we're doing is a four-part series called Alter Ego. I'm going to explain it a little bit in just a moment. Next week, we're going to have the quartet here. The following week, we'll have the ministries here. And then I'll continue the series after that for 3 weeks. And then in June, are you ready for this? You're ready for this, so I guess I'll go to the back. Okay, in June, we're going to have a series on health. Hey, we get some amens, right? I don't know if you know anything about your pastor. I love to work out. I love to exercise and do things outside. And so you want to talk about some passion. I'm probably going to have some passion in June because we're going to talk about health. We're going to talk about our bodies being the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, right? And how we need to take care of our bodies, right? Through nutrition, right? Hashtag plant strong, okay? Through exercise, right? And through a continual connection with God. And I'm really, really excited about the series in June that we're going to be doing. We're also going to be, I'm going to give you a little highlight reel. We're also going to be, the first week, we're going to be showing a movie on Saturday night after, you know, Sabbath, on health. The second week, we're going to have a big hike, bike ride that's invited for everyone that's going to be all ages appropriate. Okay, you can walk on this paved trail And then the third week, we're going to have a cooking demonstration with some great vegan food and snacks. So we're excited about this series that we're doing. If you'd like to be a part of it in any way, shape, or form, I know I see some health professionals here and some passionate people. Please come talk to me. Yeah? Connie? Yeah? Okay. And you can more than likely join on board and be a part of it. Going back to our study guides here, alter ego. You know, this is really a sermon about how God sees us. Not how we see ourselves or how others see us, but how God sees us. And I think that that's vitally important that we continually reflect on how is it that God sees us? Because we're bombarded continually with all these other ideas that we have. And if you notice, alter is spelled differently there, right? You know that? That wasn't a typo. I know I make typos, okay? Grammarly doesn't always work for me. Maybe I don't use it correctly. But alter is spelled differently. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, an altar was a place where believers would sacrifice something meaningful for who? For God, right? They would place them on an altar. And if you know what an ego is who we think we are or who we believe we are, right? Now, I'm sure there's some professionals in here that have degrees that could go a little bit further on what an ego is, but that's the simple, quick definition. Unfortunately, here's the unfortunate part. Is everybody listening? Some of us in here at times think too highly of ourselves. Everybody say, ouch. Okay, I'm going to go the other side too, okay? Some of us sometimes think too lowly of ourselves. Everybody say, ooh. And what we want to do over the next few weeks is we want to lay down our ego with what we think of ourselves at the altar of God so that we will not be who we think we are or who others think we are, but we will become and understand who God sees us to be. Amen? And so over the next few weeks, you can be preparing your heart and your ego to lay these things before God, so that you can take up what he says you are, who you are. Over the next few weeks of the sermon series, I have it outlined there. What we're going to lay down today, we're going to talk about our feelings of inadequacy. In a few weeks from now, we're going to talk about our need for control. Right? If you're sitting next to a control freak, urge your desire to control them and point them out right now. Say, hey, come on. We all battle with these different urges. It's true. It's really a lack of faith that gets us in those spots, right? We're going to talk about that. The next week, we're going to talk about our right to be offended. And I think this is going to be the favorite of the four, because we're actually going to lay down our right to be offended. We actually live in a culture where people feel like it's their right to be offended. And many people search for even reasons to be offended. Think about that. We want to be upset because our ego needs that feeling of strength. In the last week, of our sermon series, it's going to be our longing for approval. And we're going to lay down our longing for approval. You know, so many of us, we're driven by what other people think. And we know the quickest way to forget what God thinks about us is to become obsessed or concentrated on what other people think about us. So to start off this morning, we're going to talk about laying down our feelings of inadequacy. I don't know about you, but it's amazing to me how quickly I can feel incredibly inadequate. You know? Shaking your heads? I asked a variety of people this morning what they felt like their inadequacies either were or had been in the past. And I got a variety of answers. I'm going to use one example and actually use the name Smith. When we were driving here this morning, I said, so what has been one of your biggest inadequacies? And he said, you know, it's been my leg. I felt like, you know, I don't measure up. I'm insecure. I've been insecure about it in the past. And it's been a problem for me. I'm always comparing, you know, when I go out to the ball field and when I do stuff. But praise God, you know, he's overcome that. and now sees it from a little different perspective. But that has been a real struggle of his. Another person that I asked this morning said that they struggled with teaching, feeling like they didn't know enough to teach at a college level, right? I talk about humbling, right? Another person that I talked to this morning said that they've driven around neighborhoods before, and they've seen the homes in the neighborhoods, and they've thought, man, what does that person do for a living? I could never do that. Come to my neighborhood. I feel so inadequate, right? So, you see, we get these feelings of inadequacy, and I think if we're honest, I think every person here can raise their hands and says, I have felt inadequate, or I feel inadequate in some way, shape, or form. Talk about being inadequate spiritually. Have you ever been around somebody who's maybe you consider them to be ultra spiritual, right? Or they pray and it's like, man, the angels must be here right now. This is incredible. They're praying and it sounds wonderful. And then they get to you and they're like, hey, will you pray? And you're like, hey, God, thanks for this grub. Thanks for the food. Amen. You're like, their prayer seems so eloquent and so wonderful. And I'm like fumbling, right? I feel spiritually inadequate. Another person this morning said, I just wonder, am I really saved? Am I really saved? Is it really true that God calls me a son or daughter and that I'm saved? You know, our inadequacies are real. And God wants us to lay all those ideas, those concerns, those questions on the altar. And he wants to reveal to us who he sees us to be. Because how we see ourselves and how others sees us is not how God sees us. Amen? It's not how God sees us. So, you know, if you've ever felt that way, I can totally relate. I think as time has gone on, at times in my life, I seem like I have to prove something to somebody by trying to perform up to a certain standard, right? Or do a certain thing. Because for some reason I feel like I don't measure up, right? I remember that the first time that I remember that I felt super, super inadequate. You know what it was? When my wife went into labor. Yeah. I was like, oh gosh, I'm not ready for this. Oh Lord. I've been to the husband coach childbirth. I've been to all this stuff. You gotta help me, God. Right? And then you know when I felt really inadequate? It was when Aurora came out. I'm like, I'm a dad? I gotta take care of this? I had two dogs just a few years earlier, and I had to get rid of the dogs because I couldn't even take care of them. And now I have a child? Talk about inadequacy, right? Super inadequate. Like, I was like, woo, this is crazy. You know, there's just this sense of overwhelming inadequacy. You know, Smith asked me this morning, he says, well, what are some of your inadequacies, Josh? And I said, you know, I feel inadequate as a pastor. I do. How can God use me to do this? To talk. To lead people to Him. Humble. Inadequate. You know, why do we feel inadequate? That's the next part in your study guide there. And I just listed three things. I'm sure we could probably come up with 20. But I just listed three things as to why we feel inadequate. The first one is unfair criticism. Somewhere along the way in your life, someone told you something like, are you ready? You'll never amount to anything. I wish I'd never had you. You're a disappointment. You can't do anything right. I wish you were more like this person. Are you really sure you should be doing things this way? Right? Or maybe the second one, which is unrealistic compliments. This is on the flip side, right? We're going back and forth. You're incredible. You're amazing. You're the best, right? It used to be when I was a kid that in sports, I was on Little League for like 6 years in Little League, and they gave the trophy at the end of the year to the team that won, right? Nowadays, if you go down to the ballparks, they give every kid a trophy. You're a winner. You're a winner. You're a winner. You're a winner. You know, I don't necessarily think that's a horrible thing, but I think what we have because of that in some aspects is we have a generation of young people that are so fearful of failure because they're always given everything for just showing up. The third thing is unwise comparisons. We talked about this a little bit more in detail in a series we did on social media a while back, and how one of the biggest unrealistic comparisons that we have, that we use, well, most of us, a lot of us, is social media. Looking at someone else's highlight reel when you look at social media, and then you are at home seeing the reality, right? You see the vacation in Hawaii, and you see the new house, and then you see your reality. But unwise comparisons are not good at all. And we need to think about how we make those unwise comparisons on a day-to-day basis. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like you to get your Bibles out, because we're going to open the Word of God this morning. And I'd like you to go to the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 11, and say ego when you get there, so I know that you're there. It will be on the screen, but it would be good if you had your Bible, because we're going to go through it a little bit here. It's on the handout as well, yes, that's true. So you have it fairly quickly. Unlike me, I'm still going through here. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. And we're looking this morning at the story of Gideon. Right? The story of Gideon. And I'm going to read it and add some lay down our ego on the altar so we can become who he says we are. And let's start in verse 11. It says there that the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah. You know, she's been around a long time, really, really long time. Sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. So press the pause button for a moment there. What was Gideon doing? He was what? Threshing wheat, right? Everyone would know that anyone responsible threshes wheat somewhere up high so that when they throw it up, the wind would blow the chaff away, and the purest of the wheat would be left. And yet Gideon was in the wine press hiding because the bottom line was, you ready? He was afraid of his enemies. He's in the wine press. He's hiding. He's afraid. He's trying to keep the wheat for himself. He's terrified of the enemy. And this is what the angel says to him in verse 12. The angel says to him, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is, what? With you. And what did he call him? A mighty warrior, right? I don't know, because if I would have been there, I would have said, Gideon, you're like a mighty wuss. You're like a chicken. Hiding in this thing, away from the enemies, and yet the angel comes and says this to him. You know, the Lord saw something in him that he himself did not see. In verse 13, Gideon replies, but sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all these wonders that you foretold us about when they said, did the Lord not bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hand of the Midianites. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? God asks. Now in verse 15, we're going to see that whenever God calls you, empowers you, and leads you to do something, your external enemy will tell you what you're not. And your internal inner me will often play the negative message that your ego has been conditioned to approve. Gideon says, "But Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." You might say it this way: "Well, I'm not talented enough. I'm not good in front. I can't sing. I'm not that bright. I'm not as godly as some of these other people are, or I'm not as talented as him or her." And all of the inner me messages trying to tell you what you can't do when God already said to you that you could. Amen? Verse 16, the Lord answered with the key to this whole message in verse 16. And he says this, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. So God comes to this farmer, okay? He's a farmer who's hiding, who knows he's outnumbered, who's scared, and says, "You mighty man of valor, go, get him. You're going to win. Because I see in you something that you can't even see in yourself." And you know what, church family? God looks at each one of us and he says the same thing to us. Go and conquer. Because I've given you things, abilities and talents and gifts to go and do this. Amen. Amen. That's a beautiful thing that God would do this for us. To give us this. You know, I think we need to lay our egos down on the altar more often. Because we aren't always who we think we are. We have to become who God says we are. It's a process. Amen? It's a process. And this process takes faith. It takes obedience, right? It takes dedication. It takes prayer. What else does it take? Come on, help me out. It takes effort, right? Yes, it takes the Lord, right? You know, I think, and if you turn over your study guides to the back page now, I think that there's three things that you need to know about this story about Gideon. Three main things I want to bring out in this story about Gideon. You know, when your inner voices, your inner me voices, send those messages of insecurity and inadequacy, the first thing I think that we should all remember is number one, God's view of you is different than you think. Amen. Amen. Yes. Very much so. Because I promise you that God sees more in you than you see in yourself. You know that? In verse 12, the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon, who's hiding, and everything is about his physical action says, "I'm afraid." But the Lord says, "I am with you." He reassures him. And calls him what? He calls him a mighty warrior. See, God sees more in you and me than we'll ever see in ourselves. I love to watch God establish these principles in people. I love seeing young people step in to the role of ministry and get involved. I love seeing elders and deacons and church leaders step into the role of ministry and let God lead. It's exciting to see. You know, there's some great stories in the Bible about people who felt super inadequate. I think the one that just comes to mind offhand is the Moses. You know, Moses was called by God to go out and lead this nation, right? And what did he say? I can't do it, right? God says, "Oh, Moses, I see in you something amazing. I've picked you. I've given you what you need to accomplish this." And did Moses overnight just go and do this? Was it like, okay, the next day he was the king of the people, right? No. No, it took a few years, right? Right? So don't be harping on the person next to you if it seems like it's taken them a little bit longer. Okay? Give me a break too. But no, in all reality, Moses is a pretty inspirational story of that. I want you to know that for every single person here, that God's view of you is different than your view of yourself. And if someone told you you can't or you won't, and the inner me said, "Well, here's all the reasons why I can't do it," what I want you to know is that God's view of you is different, and He believes that you can. Amen? I'm feeling some insecurity in the room. You know, I love the way that Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, says, "For we are God's" what? Masterpiece, right? He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He has planned long ago. You know, Smith, it's pretty humbling to think that God, a long time ago, before you were even born, said, "I'm going to give you capabilities and gifts and talents to minister, to lead a school." And He's doing that. And He didn't feel like He could, right? Elmer, it's neat to see how God has used you in taking care of this beautiful church. Amen? It's wonderful. And Mary, God has used you in amazing ways at the school as you volunteered in the past and as you connect with people for the endowment and scholarship funds. And you're so gifted at writing loving, caring letters and the hospitable, great attitude that you have and the gift that God has given you. It's amazing. Amen? And all our people that work sound. Got one right here. Greg and Randy and Bob. Dedication. Jason. It's cool and amazing to think that God foresaw into the future and He's given Oscar and Larry and Erica and Leonard certain gifts, certain capabilities to further His kingdom. And see, I mentioned a few names, but the reality is that I could go around the whole room and say, "You and you and you, every single person here, God has given you something. Some things with an S to bring glory and honor to Him." Amen? To make His character shine truer and truer in this broken world. You are His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus so that we can do the things He prepared and planned for us long ago. You know, this, I love the stories in Scripture because, for instance, when everyone else looked at Rahab, you remember Rahab, right? What did they say? What did they see? Come on. They saw a prostitute, right? But what did God see? God saw someone whose heart would be turned to Him, right? What about, who else have written here? What about David? What did they see with David? They saw a little shepherd boy, right? But God saw a king. You know, perhaps we need to have more faith about how God sees other people and continually encourage them and try to help them and equip them for the work of ministry instead of pushing them off and saying, oh, they'll never amount to anything. They don't do anything right. Amen to that, right? What about Peter? Peter messed up again and again and again and again. And Jesus saw a rock. Jesus saw someone who would be the guest preacher at Pentecost. Do you think Peter saw that earlier? Do you think Peter saw that when he rejected Jesus? No. But God did. And God does. You know, when I teach PE down at the school, during the week, I have learned to appreciate the kids that sometimes are a bit out of control, the kids that some people toss aside, and I'm sure other teachers in here probably can relate to that. And I've made it a matter of prayer. And I have it written on my attendance sheet, no child left behind. In other words, I don't want to give up on a single child. I will never cast them off. I will never push them away because every child is valuable. Every young person is valuable. And it's the same thing in the church. Every person in the church is valuable. Amen? Nobody should be cast off. Nobody should be set aside. We all have a mission. We all have a purpose. We all have a calling. And as the pastor, as a pastor, it's my mission, it's my desire, as Ephesians 4 says, to help empower and equip you for ministry, for the work of the church, to get things done for Jesus. No church member left behind. So, number one is God's view of you is different than you think. Number two is God has given you more than you think. And number three is it's less about what you think. Right? It's less about what you think. You know, I know that many people struggle, even me at times, with, you know, I don't have what it takes. I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. But I want you to know that God has given you more than you think. There is more inside of you. Amen? You have everything you need to do what God wants you to do. I'm living proof that God put more in me than I could have ever imagined. You know, I remember that when I came back from Southern, from studying business, I started working for my father in his blacksmith shop. And I remember him coming up to me, and my dad isn't, he's probably not the best teacher. Let's just be frank. I remember him coming up to me with some shop plans of a beautiful railing, a curved railing inside of a home. And I hadn't done a lot of iron work, okay? And he hands me this drawing with a spec sheet on it. He says, go ahead and build this, and you just light it in the forge, and there's a thing there, and do that. And I go, really? Literally, like 2 weeks later, which would have taken me now probably like half a day, I was still on square one, messing up, and he was getting frustrated. I'm going, Dad, you're not teaching me, right? So he began to teach me, but honestly, I felt so inadequate, for honestly, probably about 6 to 8 years. I felt like I just can't do this. I was messing up all the time. I was trying, But it wasn't until about 6 or 8 years into it that I began to realize that my dad had showed me everything I needed to learn. My dad had given me every tool I needed. All the specs were there. All the jigs were there. Everything was right there for me. I had to use the mind which God gave me to connect the dots and continue to learn and step into that. And it's the same way with God. God has given us every tool that we need. God has given us every gift to use for Him so that we can go out and be confident in Christ. Amen? You know, 2 Peter 1:3 says the following. Bob's pulling it up right now. His divine power has given us everything we need for what? For a godly life through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. Amen? His divine power has given us everything we need. Think about that. Feel lacking? Feel insecure in some things? Nope. God's divine power has given us everything we need. For a godly life. Is God holding you back from anything? No. Through our knowledge of Him who called us out of glory and goodness, it's our knowledge of Him that gives us everything we need. Amen? Don't believe those negative messages that you hear or other people say. Because the reality is that God's view of you is different than you think. God has given you more than you think. You know, I had somebody come up to me recently and say, "Well, you know, Pastor, I never have the right things to say. I don't know what to say to people. I'm very quiet. I'm not sure what to say. But I'm good at listening." And I said, "Hallelujah. Finally." We have so many people that want to tell you their opinion, right? Or you want to talk to someone and they just want to talk back to you, right? But the reality is that listening, I believe by listening to people, more lives have been changed by a good listener than a good talker. Amen? Listening is a gift from God, and your presence can represent God's presence. Amen? God has given you more than you think. So, number one, God's view of you is different than you think. Number two, God has given you more than you could think. And number three is it's less about you than you think. This is what God said, or the Lord said to Gideon in verse 16. He said, "I will be with you. I will be with you and you will strike down the Midianites together." Do you remember when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon at the very beginning? And the Lord said, what? "The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior." See, it was less about Gideon and more about God's power than Gideon had ever realized. I think it was less about Gideon and more about God's power than Gideon ever realized. I think when God calls you to do something, it's more about the presence of God than it is about your own power. Can I get an amen? It's more about His strength than your strength. It's less about what you think and more about what He sees. That's why as a believer, we have to lay down our egos and lay it down on His altar so we won't be who others say we are and we won't be who we wrongly sometimes think we are. But we will become who God says we are. You know, I told you earlier that I feel inadequate to be a pastor. And I do because I am inadequate. I really know that it's humbling. And I feel and sense that I'm not good enough. And the honest to goodness truth is I'm not. But the good news is, it's less about me than I think. Amen. And here's what I do. Every week when I preach, and I still get nervous when I preach, I don't sweat nearly as much as I used to. I've never thrown up. I come close, I just swallow it. No, I don't. But here's the thing. I still get nervous. And you know what I have to do? I have to pray. I have to pray in the back. I have to pray that God would have my heart. He would have my mind. He would anoint me with His Holy Spirit so that I could come out and speak, so I can encourage. And, you know, I feel like I step out of Josh and into the calling of God. And it's not about me at all. It's about Him. Amen. And when I step into that calling, I step into His strength. I step into His power. I step into His goodness. I step into His grace, because it's less about me and more about Him. And that's how I do what He's called me to do. And that's how you can do what He's called you to do. Amen? But I'm not good enough. No. Step into His grace. I'm not smart enough. Step into His power. His power is made perfect in your weakness. Step into your calling. You've got something that other person doesn't have. You've got a calling that he or she doesn't have. Well, I'm never going to be adequate as a parent or a spouse. No, step into what God has called you to do. Faith followed by action, right? If He calls you, He will equip you. He's not going to call you and not equip you, right? You have access to everything that you need to do, everything He wants you to do. Well, I just can't get it done. There's too much to do. Lay it down. Step into His strength and let Him do it through you. You are not who others say you are. You are not who your inner self says you are. You are who God says you are, and you are His masterpiece. So we have to lay down our inadequacies on the altar. You know, it's hard to lay down our inadequacies. It's hard to do that, because that means that we're kind of vulnerable. Yeah. But notice that when we lay them down, we receive something from God that He gives us back, that empowers us, that helps us. And today I just want you to symbolically just lay down whatever inadequacies you feel before God's altar. And I want you to become not who you think you need to be, or what other people think you need to be, but who God sees you to be. Today, if that's your prayer, I just invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray momentarily here. Father, as we pray today, that Your Spirit would minister faith and hope and healing into the hearts of every person here. Father, all of us have battled in some way with deep feelings of inadequacy. And by faith today, I believe that they would lay down all of these false beliefs, and that Your Word, God, would renew our minds with truth. And You would fill us with Your hope and Your presence.
God, ultimately, it's less about us and it's really about you. And so, Father, today we want to step into your plan. And God, I want to thank you in advance for all the different things that we're going to discover that you've called us to do in the future. And I want to thank you in advance for the strength that you're going to give us and the power that you're going to give us to do everything that you've called us to do. Amen. You know, I know that there's many who have these deep feelings of inadequacy when it comes to God. I know this. Yeah. I know for me, I was a guy that believed in God growing up, but at one point in my life, I'd done some things that were so wrong in my eyes, in God's eyes, that, oh, I had all kinds of doubts, horrible doubts, that I thought, man, I'm not even anywhere close to being eligible to be part of this. I thought that. And you know, I had this real sense of guilt. I don't know if you ever had that before, but I had this real sense of guilt. And I think most of us, when we're honest, we realize that our behind the scenes are pretty dirty. They're pretty ugly. We kind of tense up. We feel spiritually inadequate. And I just want to confirm your feelings and say, yeah, you know what? Here's the truth. Are you ready? We are incredibly, grossly, spiritually inadequate. We are. Before a holy God, every single one of us in here. Our sins are so filthy before God, we don't come anywhere close to His standard for perfection. You know where I'm going right now? And this is why the story of God's love is so amazing. Because God still loves you. For Him. That's good. Could do a lot better. It'd be excellent. Billy Graham said often, he said, if you don't remember anything I ever say, remember this, that God loves you. You need to remember that. If we told that to our young people more, yeah, they'd be out in the world, but they'd know that God loves them. Because they were told that over and over and over and over. Don't stop saying it. Don't forget it. God loves you. I'm going to have one more prayer as we close. Let's pray. Father, as we have feelings of inadequacy, as we hear what the crowd around us says, as we hear the voices in our own head, Father, we realize that we need to be careful. We need to confirm through your word what you say about us and how you see us. And Father, we know that you don't look down in this room and see a bunch of sinners who are reckless and unworthy, that because of what Jesus has done, you see people who are righteous and holy and who are equipped with the Holy Spirit. Father, may we see that too. May we believe that. May we grow into that role on a daily basis. May we lay our egos down on the altar and take up what it is you have for us. Father, please continue to bless each person and home here, and just bless us on this Sabbath day. In Jesus' name I pray.